Good morning, everybody. Good morning. It's really good to be here, as Mike says, in this shortened service on what is Remembrance Sunday. This isn't a Remembrance Day service, this is a worship service. Let me make that clear. All the remembrance things will be happening, but of course there'll be elements of that within the service as well. But we still want to worship God and gather together and worship him at all times. Amen? Amen, yeah. So I thought we'd start by a song that I think is very fitting for today, because it's a song that reminds us that Jesus is in charge, that Jesus is the one with all authority, and all things come underneath him, and the victory is his. So stand with me, if you're able, as we sing together, Crown Him with Many Crowns.
Lovely.
Let us pray. Dear Jesus, today we stand in your victory because you are the Lord of life. You are the author of all things. You are the Prince of Peace. On a day where we remember tragedies and horrors of the past, but hopefully also remember that work is still to be done because the world doesn't know your peace yet. Lord, let this be a day that we speak of your love. Let us use this day to remember that you are the one who died to save us, to set us free, to redeem us, to restore us. Why? Because you love us. Lord, as this town gathers to remember, I pray that within that, they will consider their own mortality. And in do so, that they will look to you. Because you love them. And Lord, you died for them so that they too can know life in all its fullness and forevermore. Today, Lord, we remember you. We remember what you have done for us. And we remember who you are. That you are seated on high, that you are the King of Kings, and we praise and we worship you. Amen. We'll have our reading now. Thank you, Mike.
Our reading is from Romans chapter 8, verses 31 to 39. With all this in mind, what are we to say? If God is on our side, who is against us? He did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all. How can he fail to lavish every other gift upon us? Who will bring a charge against those whom God has chosen? Not God who acquits. Who will pronounce judgment? Not Christ who died, or rather rose again. Not Christ who is at God's right hand and pleads our cause. Then what can separate us from the love of Christ? Can affliction or hardship? Can persecution, hunger, nakedness, danger, or sword? We are being done to death for your sake all day long. As Scripture says, we have been treated like sheep for slaughter. And yet throughout it all, overwhelming victory is ours through him who loved us. For I am convinced that there is nothing in death or life, in the realm of spirits or superhuman powers, in the world as it is or the world as it shall be, in the forces of the universe, in heights or depths, nothing in all creation that can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Thanks be to God for his word.
Let us pray. Loving God, I think the prayer for this morning is simple, that we, as we journey through this service, we will just know the love that we've just heard of in that passage and be reminded of it, your deep, unending love for us, a love that will never let us go. Church, stand with me as we sing that beautiful hymn, O Love That Wilt Not Let Me Go.
Let me go. I rest my weary soul in thee.
In this, which is a shortened service to allow for the Remembrance Day parade and act of silence. I think when I was praying about it, thinking about it, the thing that I want us all to remember today is the love of God. When I left Theological College, one of the tutors there, she was writing a book, and she was trying to figure out a masculine perspective of the gospel. And she asked if I'd write something down. I didn't, because I'm not very good or very clever, and I would have been found out. But there is something in what she was saying. I think particularly, we talk about love a lot in church. That tends to be our language a lot. And I don't think there's any, for me, any surprise that there's always more females in church than there is men, because that kind of language. But when we talk about the love of God, we need to recognize that we are talking about a powerful and victorious love that is for everybody. And I think that's really important. When we look at this passage, which is one of my favorite passages in all of Scripture, we find a powerful, conquering, victorious love that defeats all things. The passage from verse 31, which is where it normally starts saying this: what then shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? What then shall we say in response to these things? What things? We need to know what the things have just been spoken about so that we can understand this passage. So I want to explain the context a little bit for us first. The passage lists some of the things that cannot separate us from the love of God. Persecution, famine, nakedness. Church this morning, can we get a hallelujah that none of us are suffering from the persecution of nakedness this morning? Amen. Amen, amen, amen. The chapter, all of the chapters, is Romans 8. The chapter, I mean, you can never really take chapters in isolation, but I'm going to talk about that. The chapter speaks like this: if you know Jesus, if you have faith in who he is, and from that what he has done for you, then you are a child of God. You can cry out, Abba, Father. God the Father in heaven is your Father. You are one of his children. It makes another radical claim as well. Because you're a child of God, that makes you a co-heir inheritance with Jesus. That always gets me every single time to just take a second and just think that you're a co-heir with Jesus. That's quite something, isn't it? Why are you a co-heir with Jesus? Because you have been adopted into God's family. You need to understand that in Jewish and in Roman thought, written by Jewish people to a people living in Rome, in both of those contexts, if you're adopted into a family, you are the family. There's no second-class division here. You have every right and every entitlement as if you were born into the family. And that includes an inheritance as well. There's no smaller kind of lesser inheritance because you weren't born into the family, you were just adopted. No, in Jewish and Roman, if you're adopted into the family, you are family. So when I say that you're a child of God, you're not like a lesser child of God. You are a full-fledged child of God, and you are a co-heir with Jesus Christ. What we shouldn't hear is that when we're co-heirs, we're equal heirs. The firstborn always got a greater share of the inheritance, normal a double portion. So Jesus has got more of it than us. And I think that's okay, friends, because he's got himself. But more than that, what does the firstborn have? He has responsibility for the whole family. So Jesus has a responsibility for us, that he is enacting in heaven and his spirit here with us on earth. So I want you to hear that you are an heir with Jesus. What is it that we will inherit? What is it that we will inherit? Just from Romans chapter 8, I'm going to tell you a few things that you're going to inherit. Glory. You're going to share in the glory with Jesus. You have glory coming your way. What does this mean for us? It means that your new identity in Jesus is raising you up. I love the fact that, so verse 17 says that we share in his glory. Verse 19 says this: for creation waits in eager expectation for the children of God to be revealed. All of creation cannot wait until the time that you truly receive this glory and it is revealed to creation itself. It can't wait for it. You're receiving glory. There's something new about who you are in Jesus that is different from the person you were before you came to know him. Other things that we're going to inherit. This one is shared in creation, because verse 21 tells us that on the day of revelation of that glory, creation itself will also be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the freedom and the glory that is of the children of God. So one of the things that creation already recognizes about us is that we've been freed from corruption, it says in some translations. We've been freed already from death. Isn't that quite a cool inheritance? Yeah. Let me tell you, it is quite a cool inheritance that actually we get to be eternal. And a lot of Christianity, and rightly so, when we talk about our theology of being a follower of Jesus, we talk about what we receive now, how it benefits us now, because it greatly does. But we don't want to diminish as well the eternal aspect of our inheritance, because it really, really matters, certainly as these bodies come to their end. So there's all this future hope. The passage is talking about the future hopes, the future inheritance, all those good things. And why is it talking about them? Because the reality of the Christians at the time is that they're suffering, that life isn't so good for all of them as they receive this letter from the Apostle Paul. So that they've got this future hope that keeps them going, that helps them endure, helps them persevere, helps them cope with the reality that they are loving. It's not just that we're abandoned to this future hope. As well, the passage also reminds us, and by the way, the Spirit comes and helps you in your weakness. Because God loves you. God is there for you. That's the background of all of this passage, and then we get, what then shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who then is the one who condemns? No one. Jesus Christ, who died and more than that was raised to life, is at the right hand of God interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. That's what they're living. That's the fear that the people are living with who receive this letter. But it goes on to say, no, in all of these things, all of those circumstances, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So that's the passage in the background. There's two quick things that I want us to take home from that passage today. Two things that passage alludes to that you may be struggling with, and maybe it's just helpful to be reminded that you cannot be separated from the love of God. The first one is this. What words are being spoken about you? Are there people in your life that maybe speak negative things over you and it's damaging you? More likely than that, are you speaking negative words over yourself? Are you a little bit self-destructive about how you think about yourself, how you talk about yourself, how you view yourself, the sense of worth that you ascribe to yourself? If that is the case, then verse 34 tells us that Jesus is in heaven right now interceding for you. Think about that for a second. That Jesus is at the right hand of God interceding for you. What's Jesus interceding? He's sharing with the Father his love for you, how he's made you righteous, how he sees you, telling God about the things in your life, the petitions that you're making, the requests that you have, the struggles that you're going through. And Jesus is in heaven right now telling God the Father about you. I find that quite something. So be careful of the words that are being spoken of over you. Listen to the words that Jesus is speaking about you. They're far more powerful and far more beautiful, and in him they are far more true. The second thing I want us to just quickly look at that is maybe you're one of those people who's going through a hard time and you're struggling to feel God. The testimony of Christ's love is the cross. It's there for all time for us to see as a reminder of God's love for us. What does the cross mean for us? It means all of those things that were listed as things coming against us as Christians, the circumstance that we're struggling in. I want you just to stop for a second and recognize that all of that is temporary. And because it is temporary, every circumstance that is difficult in life fades away. But you in Jesus, you endure and you rise. Everything that can come against you in life, even if it's the worst thing that you've ever been through, I want to remind you that everything that you are going through in life is temporary. And its power will fade. But the power of God's love will endure and will endure you. You have an eternal inheritance. And nothing, not anything in all creation, no power can separate you from the love of God and who he has made you to be. This is a passage that I found really helpful in the last couple of weeks. It's from Jeremiah 29. And it says this, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart." Listen to that last verse again. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. So I think that's what I want to say to us this morning, a reminder that we should seek God with all of our heart. In all times, in all difficulties, in all circumstances, seek God. Seek his love, because he is there for you, the Holy Spirit is with you, and Jesus is proclaiming your name in heaven. There is nothing at all that will ever separate you from the love of God. Amen. We're going to sing once more again about that love now, a song that speaks of God's reckless love, not reckless because it's foolhardy, but reckless because Jesus knew the cost to himself and was still willing to pay it for us. Let's stand together as we sing Reckless Love. Please be seated. We're going to move to our time of prayer for the world right now. And quite simply on this day, we will use the custom of the day and we will hold 2 minutes silence. But I think as followers of Jesus, there's a natural thing that we do in silence, and that is pray. So we'll pray for the world as we hold those 2 minutes silence. It might be that right now, you know, you cannot separate yourself from the love of God. Nobody on this planet can separate themselves from the love of God. He loves everybody. But it might be that you've never decided to have fellowship with God. Does that make sense? It might, you can't be unloved by God. God loves all people. But the choice that we get to make in life is to have fellowship with God. So maybe in that time as well, if you wish, you could just come to God and say, could our fellowship increase? Could our fellowship increase? Church, as we pray for ourselves and as we pray for the world, we hold 2 minutes silence. Let us bring those prayers together in the prayer that Jesus taught us. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. So we come to the end of this shortened act of worship, and we sing together the great hymn that speaks once more of God's love. And we sing together, Love Divine, All Loves Excelling. the time's 10:43 and the Act of Remembrance will be commencing shortly. So if you're going to that, you may want to make your way directly after this final benediction prayer. A prayer that we often use at funeral services, but feel so apt for today. God grant to the living grace, to the departed rest, and to the world peace. And to us and all the faithful, life everlasting. The blessing of God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with us now and evermore. Amen. Amen.